And it's really important to learn how to judge prophecy, especially New Testament prophecy. Nobody I know is infallible. The book is infallible. We're fallible. And New Testament prophecy needs to be judged. And so it gives instruction on how to do that, how you can test and judge prophetic words. And then I want to invite you to come to our School of Supernatural Ministry if you want to be trained in signs and wonders and healing and prophecy and prayer. We have part of IHOP curriculum. We have Bethel School of Supernatural, full curriculum from there. We have graduates from that school, three-year graduates that are the teachers of that school in Kelowna. Come and spend 10 months in beautiful Kelowna so that you can come back and bring revival to PEI, go out on the streets, do signs, wonders, miracles, set up houses of prayer, prophesy. I mean, you know, this has just helped you. Gloria was there with us for a bit. She came. I don't know if you actually went to the school. Did you go to the school? Yeah, she was the first year of our school too. And here she's back here pushing for it now, you know. So what we want to see is not everybody come to Kelowna. We just simply want to equip and send them back into their harvest fields so that they can, you know, then multiply everything that they've learned and see that go. So we welcome you if you're able to come. So how are we doing? I like that. I like it when people are like falling out and just sitting there. Yeah, when I'm ministering. And Kirk and Cheryl, you guys want to come up front here? Because I just like to see your holy faces, you know? Don't they look like they have such nice faces? I always think that. It's like, you know, their countenance. And since they've been praying for you for some years now, and they're just really starting to, you know, they're contending. They felt like the Lord told them to come pray not just for New Brunswick, but for all five maritime provinces. Just they're hammering away week after week, and it's really starting to build. And so, and the young people are starting to come out. It's starting to, Four and Labrador, sorry. Four Atlantic provinces, but there's a Labrador. There's a Newfoundland, Labrador, you know. They said it as five, so I'm just saying it what they said. So it's their mistake and not mine. The woman you gave me, she made me do it. No, he was raised in New Brunswick. Both of you were raised in New Brunswick? Yeah, so anyway. It's interesting the word that Kirk brought tonight and what I was feeling. It was just really strong in his word tonight. I was asking the Lord, you know, what should I share? And I felt to share this prophetic word by James Gall that he released for the first time at our church in September. But it wasn't for our church. He released it there, but he actually had it when he was in Brazil. And it was for whosoever wills. I want you to know that the word of the Lord is always for whoever wants it. You know, the whole Bible is for whosoever wills. You know, we all have as much of God as we want because it's there for every person. It's a completely open system. You can start, doesn't matter where you start, you can start with five talents or one. And as long as you're faithful with what you've been given, it will always increase. If you've been given five, you can get five more. You know what? And if you've been given one and aren't faithful with it, it can be taken from you and given to the person with five. Or vice versa. If the five person's not faithful with it, he can give it to the person with one. There's always, it's like open system. Anybody can have as much of God as they want. You can just grab hold of it and take it, and this is for you, okay? And James was telling us when he came that he was ministering in Brazil in July, and he was seeking the mind of the Lord for global moves. He was actually, you know, in that space, and sometimes we get that where we're saying, Lord, you know, I often say, God, what are you doing here? But sometimes I say, God, what are you doing on the earth? What, you know, the earth is the Lord, Psalm 24. And the fullness thereof, everything in it, the earth is the Lord. And all the inhabitants, it all belongs to, the earth is the Lord, Psalm 24. I love that. And then it goes on to say, is this the generation who will seek his face? But before that, you know, lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. And when we're looking for that, when we as the people of God are lifting up our heads, you know, and crying out and prophesying over our cities, lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come over here. Lift up your heads. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. This is his nature. This is who he is. And the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. All it contains, certain verses say. And so James Gall was seeking the mind of the Lord for this and while he was in Brazil. And he said, I was seeking specifically the Lord for his mind and thoughts concerning future movements of the Holy Spirit. I went to sleep in my hotel room in Belo Horizonte, which, by the way, is just where we had the call in 12-12, we had it November 8th, 2012. It's the worship capital of Brazil. It's where the revival that from Toronto that went down there landed in Belo Horizonte. The man named Dan Duke took it through across the nation. Hundreds of thousands have come into the kingdom through that the thing. It's incredible. It's now the center of worship in Belo Horizonte. I mean, it all started in Canada, eh? Only in Canada, you say, eh? I had some red bros today. Small world. So he went to sleep in his hotel room in Belo Horizonte, and he said, I woke up out of what he called a, quote, stunner of a dream. The manifested presence of God was riveting on my body as an after effect of this dream encounter. It shook me. Literally, he could feel the vibrating presence of God. You know, I can't go any further, I'm sorry, without prophesying over this brother here. And I just feel like, you know, that you are carrying that hunger for the prophetic for decades. Like there's this thing on you that's carrying this desire, this hunger, and that for the word of the Lord. And the Lord, I just feel like he's going to answer you according to your hunger. Like the Lord's showing you so many things. I see you like almost like just praying by yourself in your room and crying out for more of God. And, you know, just like not only what he was asking for God, for the whole world, you're just saying, God, over here, God, over here, come over here, come to me, come to my city. And the Lord said, I've been listening to you, and I've been giving you revelation and been showing you things, and you are believing it. You are mixing your faith with what I've been telling you for a long, long, long time. And I feel like you're like a prophet that's out of season, that you see things ahead of time, and you sometimes feel like you're always out of season believing for something that's not actually here yet. But you're going to be crying out for future moves of God, even for here. And Lord, we just want to bless his hunger for the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of times prophets are out of due season, as one out of due season. You know, I mean, Paul was saved, and that's the description of how he got saved. But that they often see ahead before anybody else sees, and so people don't understand them, and people don't get them. And they're seeing things, and when you see it in the spirit, it just feels so real. It feels like it's going to happen today, and you're shocked when it doesn't. You know, but I'm believing today. Today is a good day for that man's body. I'm believing that. Anyway, I want to apologize to the men in the room because I preach like a girl. And what happens when you preach like a girl is that you can be going on a thought, you know, you have a whole sermon. And suddenly, you know, another idea will come in, and it's important. It actually has something to do with where you're going, but the guys can't tell because we seem like we're going on a tangent, but to us it makes perfect, rational, logical sense to go over here on your way to there, you know? And so, and I just feel like the girls have had to listen to a lot of men's sermons. You know, the line upon line, precept upon precept kind. Boring. No, I don't. And girls are more interactive. You know what I mean? They say even like you watch a little child girls when they start to talk, you know, I mean, and they just talk about a lot more things, okay? So it's more fullness. The sermon is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Anyway, okay, back to the point, okay. And how I learned I preached like a girl is my husband used to say, Stacy, you had like some great stories, but what was your point? And I said, well, this one, he said, well, why didn't you connect the dots? He said, like, now I get it when you connect them for me, but I had no idea why you would bring that up. And then I would go over here, and why you go over there? So I was like, oh, okay. So that didn't really have a point, but I'm coming back to my point. And the point is, this is what the Lord is trying to get you to call out for over here. So this dream has relevance to you here, because if you pick up on this holy and global intention of the Lord and begin crying it out and begin asking for it and begin saying, okay, this is a revelation of future moves on the earth, and why not here? Like blind Bartimaeus, you know, Jesus was just walking by. He actually seemed to have no intention to stop with blind Bartimaeus, and blind Bartimaeus just started crying out, over here, over here, over here, and he wouldn't stop shouting, and everybody around tried to get him to stop making a fuss, but he wouldn't let go. He said, over here, over here. And Jesus finally turns to him, who had no intention was going to pass right by, up there and said, okay, what do you want? And then he said, your faith has called this out. And if you actually have faith and mix your faith with this and cry for it over here, it'll happen over here, especially when it's already intended by the word of the Lord, confirmed twice by two major prophets over here and the house of prayer over here and many words of the Lord over here. I'm telling you, he's looking for a people to grab it over here. Okay, so here we go. Stunner of a dream, the manifested presence of God was doing, and it shook me. And so this is the encounter. He said, I saw Southern California as a womb for the body of Christ. Just a womb. Okay, like an Azusa Street that starts something, you know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that it has to be only there. I'm telling you, when you get a prophecy, it doesn't have to be just only there. And like an eagle in flight, I was hovering over the globe in search of a place to land. My knower was on high alert as I flew over Los Angeles and Orange County that this womb had already received another word implanted at least a year earlier, and that another long-term, almost overdue birth was imminent. I then soared over Pasadena, and the next thing I knew, and Lou Engel has recently gone back to Mott Auditorium. I was there on his Ekbalo fast in March. I mean, it's amazing. Since that time, since they've had that 40-day Ekbalo fast, there was a move of God that broke forth in Wales. Lou Engel just flew over there. I talked to him last week in California. He said something happened in Wales on the last day of our 40-day fast, and I felt like that was the beginning of something going to happen all over the world as a result of what's going on. And what if they picked it up in PEI and we were like the next place? Come on, it's possible. So anyway, I then soared over Pasadena, and the next thing I knew, the eagle suddenly flew into historic the Mott Auditorium on the hallowed grounds of William Carey University. Now, you all know William Carey, right? Okay, William Carey is known as the father of modern mission, of the modern missionary movement. He actually was in the first, you know, in the last century, like 1800s, he began to send out missionaries all over the world, and he started the missionary movement where people were going from all over the world to the hardest, most unreached people groups in the earth at that time and giving their life for missions. So to land here is like something extraordinary. Okay. The Mott Auditorium was packed with worshiping believers with standing room only. The place was electric in the dream with the presence of God. Rabid worship was happening with occasional authoritative declarations by various leaders. I noticed a few desperate pastors. We got any desperate pastors in here? Crying out with anguish for God to visit them once again. Then things suddenly shifted. All of a sudden, the late John Wimber, former leader of the Vineyard Movement and a voice for the third wave, was firmly standing on the newly purple carpeted platform. The cultural atmosphere in the dream was now pregnant with a realm of the glory and the thick majesty of God. What he saw in that black cloud, if you will, when God really moves, When you get close to the presence of God, in fact, in Moses, when Moses was going to go up onto the mountain, the Bible says that there was thick darkness that surrounded him. In the Psalms, it says there's thick darkness that actually surround God. The whole mountain began to shake, and the dark, thick cloud, it says it's a dark cloud. Where God's presence comes close, there's a dark cloud. It's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And in Campbelltown, in Wales, there was a move where the cloud actually moved in over the Hebrides Island. And what it said, what he prophesied, was that the fear of the Lord landed on the streets because the cloud of glory moved into a whole region over the Hebrides Island. And for those of you who know that story of revival, what happened in there, it was that people were strangely drawn. Unbelievers, they would leave bars, they would be leaving the dance halls, they would be leaving, they would all be under such conviction, they would be running into churches, not one church, but every church. They were just filling the churches. They just knew they had to get to church, and they were indiscriminate. Almost God, by the Spirit, was leading. I mean, they were filling churches sovereignly by that cloud of glory actually landing over a place. I am telling you, if God's prophesying that over here, you need to call that in. Like Elijah, when the prophecy started to happen, he didn't just go, oh, my prophecy's starting to happen. Like Daniel, when he read the book of the 70-year-old prophecy, he didn't say, oh, my prophecy's starting to happen. He said he started fasting and praying for the 70-year-old word of the Lord that Jeremiah had. Elijah got down on his knees and put his head between his legs and began to cry in the prophecies that were already there. And this is what we need to do. The prayer movement will bring these prophecies from heaven to earth and make them land here. I feel like kind of excited, actually. Anyway, so he sees John Wimber on the platform. And the cultural atmosphere was now pregnant with a realm of the glory and thick majesty of God. I encourage you to look through Scripture for the dark cloud of glory, the thick darkness of God. There's scriptures, thick darkness. Look them up. They're so powerful of the realm. And Moses was the only one brave enough to go through the thick darkness. The rest were saying, like, the mountain's shaking, the darkness is coming. You go, Moses. If we go, we're going to die. And Moses had the only one with the faith to break through that darkness. I love Moses. Moses is an inspiration to me. Anyway, then in the dream, James Gall heard, and felt the voice of John Wimber echo an invitation that rattled the entire place. He simply declared, "Come again, Holy Spirit." Let's say that. Let's all say that. Come again, Holy Spirit. And, you know, I want to say this. A lot of us, when we've experienced a move of God in our lifetime, and something's gone bad, you know, a leader falls, the thing splits the church, something happens, a genuine move of God in the hands of, you know, the rest of us humans. Sometimes we know the history of revival. You can read God's Generals. You can read all kinds of history books. You know, what happens is a lot of times at a certain point, some enemy comes in, the tares get sown amongst the wheat, and that happens. And what happens for some of us when we walk through a revival, we can get jaded. We can go, Or we go, been there, done that. You know, that was just too freaky. I just want to live normal. I was like, that was too intense, you know. And plus, look at what happened. We're without counting the fruit that came out of a move of God. You know, the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands that actually came to Christ in short periods of times, the healings, the stuff that, you know, that goes with good. We can start looking more like the 12, like the 10 spies that went into the very land that God promised. It was a true prophecy from God himself. He sent 12 spies in, 10 spies look at the problems, 2 spies see ten spies see the giants, all the problems, 2 spies see the grapes and the fruit, and they go, okay, you know, and I'm telling you, there is a way to look even at the promises of God and the promised land. And the Bible says that just people live by faith. We mix our faith. Hebrews says that they didn't inherit the promises of God. Why? Because the word, when it came, was not mixed with faith inside the person who heard it. And really, all of us, it's faith is the great divider. It's not many wise, not many noble, not many all these things according to the flesh. You know, the weak things, the foolish things, God uses these things. And we have to be able to buy the whole field. He said, you want the field, you know, you've got to buy the whole field where the pearl of great price is. We got to take the whole field. There's a lot of dirt digging up a pearl of great price. Anyway, so he says this, come again, Holy Spirit. Let's say that. Come again, Holy Spirit. Now, for those of you who mean that, God is listening right now. God is hearing that as a prayer. Come again, Holy Spirit. People started crashing to the floor en masse under the impact of the power and authority that resonated in those simple words. Once again, another sound wave was released from PEI. Come again, Holy Spirit. It was not the gentle Jesus showing up or the comforting dove of God manifesting. It was not just another renewal or revival meeting, though it seemed to include all of those qualities. It was the violent invasion of heaven entering a time and space world. It was a church quake. I felt the reverberation of the sound waves of the voice of the invitation. Say invitation. This is simply an invitation. God is looking for people that are inviting him. This is like John Wimber used to invite the Holy Spirit. He used to say, come, Holy Spirit, as an invitation. He would actually invite the Holy Spirit into the meeting to do what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And when people actually, God works by invitation. You know, he works by desire. He works by want to, whoever wants him. That's what he responds to. It shook the very building, the voice of invitation, the grounds and all those presents. The fear of the Lord fell, which was this prophecy, and an earthquake of a 5.7 magnitude resulted. The quake resulted in an anointing resting on Psalm 57. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. It's the spirit of the fear of the Lord coming. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. This is what he just saw in the vision when he landed in this meeting. Wow. People screamed in terror as the entire grounds and the buildings were rattled by the sound of God's voice being heard and felt once again. Signs and wonders broke out and appeared as an after effect, not as the primary goal. The primary goal was God himself coming and the spirit of the fear of the Lord and the terror of God, like an Isaiah 6 experience when God actually lands. Even Isaiah says, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. The third time I heard the pronouncement from John Wimber, come again, Holy Spirit. I feel like if you made that a personal cry, if you began to prophesy that as you did drive-by prayers, drive-by shootings, you know, just shoot that invitation over that elementary school. Just shoot that invitation over that university. Just shoot that invitation over your municipal buildings and government buildings. Come again, Holy Spirit. Come again, Holy Spirit. Just shoot that invitation over the A.B. Simpson Monument. Just shoot that invitation over Anne of Green Gables for every visitor coming to PEI to see that. Come again, Holy Spirit. Just begin to shoot that as an invitation that you want God in your midst. People crashed onto the floor in droves in his dream. Suddenly, I was awakened. The move of God, this move of God centered on the radical worship of the one, Christ Jesus the Lord, and the welcoming with abandonment, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. It was raw and overpowering. It was not rehearsed. It was an invasion of the Holy Spirit himself. A window of opportunity had opened, and this uncontrollable surging sound, a sound wave jumped spontaneously around the globe. He saw this like just break out. A man appeared on a pogo stick, gleefully jumping from city to city and nation to nation. The man on this pogo stick was William Seymour of the historic Azusa Street Revival. He leapt across nations, and everywhere his pogo stick landed, light came for a brief moment. The nations were in an uproar, and fire and light were falling around the globe. And I think it's like very significant that they do the Ekbalo fast from that very location in Mott Auditorium in March, and the last day of the fast, something breaks out in Wales where there was another historic revival, because I believe God wants a global revival, like an Azusa, like a Welsh, like a Canadian. We've had them over and over again in Canada, like, you know, like around the world. And this pogo stick, like it's the whosoever will. Then I heard one last word. A line has been drawn in the sand. James Gull says, terror gripped me. I shook. I honestly did not know what was coming next. I still do not know, he reflects, having pondered deeply on this experience. Was it days of glory? Or was it impending societal chaos? Was it times of economic collapse? Or reformation, where a new order was created out of tumultuous uncertainty? I honestly was left not knowing what the outcome or the result would be, but this I knew. Hope for the fragmented body of Christ and the nations was being released. An invitation was being sent from heaven to earth, and a line was being drawn in the sand. The word went in me, the word penetrated me, this word has disturbed me, but this I know. Heaven has a word that must be heard in the earth realm. Come again, Holy Spirit. And the invitation must have an urgent and appropriate response.